Good morning. Today is Monday, March the 12th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Chris Hartley. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning. Happy Monday.
You know, we were talking before the show. To me, this is one of the coolest days of the year.
It's a beautiful drive this morning.
Yeah, well, the weather today also, but the first weekday after the clocks flip.
Well, you get that little extra dose of daylight, and it's welcome. You know, you get home from work, and it's dark, and so when you get to come home and you got some extra light on your hands to do some things, it feels,
and you get
feels
to
like
see
summer.
You get to see sunrise.
You get to see the sunrise again.
You know, of course, we're not having to drive into the sun.
Not so much.
That can be a little bit more challenging, too, but it just, I don't know. I guess the crispness is always kind of
it's very cool.
Tells you I don't get out here before 7 o'clock too regularly, huh?
But you got here on time today.
That's right. Put in my solid hour before the show. I'm like feeling I'm getting traction today.
Fresh as a daisy. Very
That's wrong. Right. And you didn't show up until 8 o'clock, which is even better.
Yeah, I had
some
the
guys
right.
decide that they want to show up early. It's like, oh, man.
Have you had that happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You guys, you shared that you and a couple of other folks from Humboldt County went down to Sacramento.
We did.
Last we got together and helped to explain perhaps some of the rural challenges in education. What was the reception like?
You know, it was great, Brian. It was February 26th. We had our first ever Humboldt County Superintendent's Ledge Action Day. And it was an idea that we had of bringing a group of superintendents down to Sacramento and spend time with some legislators and lobbyists and staff members from the government, the governor's council there, and we were very well received. You know, we actually had 8 superintendents and myself. We had Kevin Trone from Rio Dell, Chris Cox from Scotia, Blaine Sigler from Cuddyback, Beth Anderson in Ferndale, Gary Storch from South Bay, Sherry Lovett from Atoll, John Ray from Klamath Trinity, and Jennifer Gluck from Big Lagoon. So,
pretty good cross-section.
Oh, absolutely.
Geographically and
absolutely.
Size-wise. Yeah.
You know, and for these folks to take the time away from work and make the trip down there was to me, I was just really pleased that we had that many folks wanting to do that. And so I was hopeful that it would be time well spent. And it was. We had a great session with Senator McGuire and Assemblyman Wood. And then we had an opportunity to speak one-on-one with like the governor's educational advisor, Jennifer Johnson, who knows her stuff. And she's actually from Yuba City, which is a rural community as well. So when you're sitting there talking to somebody that's
they don't have a lot of trees down there,
yeah,
but yeah, okay, they
yeah,
got the small part figured out.
They got the small
yeah.
part, but she understands and relates to the issues that we're talking about. So to have a voice that you're talking with that understands your perspective, and you feel confident that she's going to represent that when she's meeting with the governor and they're talking about big decisions and policy, is very, you know, it's a very good thing to do.
What was the primary issue that drove you guys down there?
You know, our platform, we had met beforehand and had a pretty well dialed in, were basically, you know, 3 or 4 things. One, we had to talk about, you know, the mental health issues that we have up here in our community, and to raise awareness that when it comes to funding and it comes to policy decisions that are being made, you got to keep us in mind. And, you know, the governor's budget is founded on the principles of equity. Those that need more should get more. And what we've felt consistently in rural communities is that we're not thought of from an equity perspective, and that our students and our communities face challenges that are as dire as many urban areas. You know, and we need them to be aware of who we are and what we're up to. And so we spent a lot of time talking about the need for extra services to help students with those mental support needs. We talked about how schools are funded. So with the local control funding formula, I'm not going to throw an acronym at you today, Brian.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The governor basically has created a base allotment of funds in the base grant, and then there's some supplemental dollars that go for specific student populations. But as the state's recovering and as finances increase for schools, what we want them to do is make sure they put those dollars in the base, because that gives us an opportunity to use those funds in a wide variety of areas. Whereas in the past, they might get new funding and they would pass a categorical or a law saying the funds have to go towards X and you can only use it for that. And what we're encouraging them to do is to put it in the base grant so that it gives schools flexibility to use the funds the best way for the students in that particular district.
Now, weren't some of the Humboldt County schools beneficiaries of that because of the low income target, the targeting, it's a little bit of an extra kick?
You know, we remain pretty flat up here. The populations are English language learners, socioeconomic, foster youth. And the areas in California where districts really did see some growth is with English language learners, particularly in the Valley area and the urban areas. So in the rural community, our area of largest need is socioeconomic for sure. But with that said, we still remain fairly flat in our funding from the state. So that's why we're advocating as new funds come in, put it in the base so that we all benefit from that. And that's money that can be ongoing to help our rural communities.
I would imagine it's kind of a challenge dealing with some of the trending issues that are not necessarily in education, but statewide.
Sure.
Is that something, you think of student populations and those areas that are growing, you don't think of our part of the state at all.
Not so much. And that's why it's important for us to be down there and talk to those issues, and so that they understand what our student population looks like, what the needs are of our student population. Oftentimes, you know, they're sitting there looking at making a decision of policy or a financial decision, and they're only thinking of the perspective of the urban communities.
Well, I was thinking that simple things like maintenance. You know, if you have a growing population, okay, you can defer your maintenance, and you know next year you're going to have
more. That's right.
If you're flat.
That's where we've been. You know, the same dollar yesterday is the same dollar today.
Yeah, the maintenance isn't getting done.
That's right.
You know, I would think for categorical funding for some of the rural schools, something along those lines, as a little kicker.
It's a great idea.
Thank you. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Chris, on your trip to Sacramento with some of the other superintendents of the area, what kind of sense did you have? I mean, there's going there as a tourist.
Yes.
You show up, you get something to eat, you glad hand a little bit, you say hi to Woods and McGuire, and you come back home and you kind of feel be okay. And then you got those where you go and it's a labor.
Yes.
But you get traction.
Right.
You lock horns. You get something done. You may be tired for 3 days, but there's an accomplishment that occurs. What kind of trip was this one? Did you guys do battle?
You know, it was work. It was good work. I wouldn't call it doing battle by any means. I would call it, advocacy.
That should be a battle.
And it was. Well, we were there representing the needs of the county, but it wasn't a battle in the sense on how well received we were. There was no major convincing that we needed to do. What we needed to do was to come there and tell our stories about our students, tell the reality of what it's like in Humboldt County, the great things too. You know, not that it's just all doom and gloom, but...
Did you get to the metropolitan representatives and say, L.A. County is a little bit different than Garfield. Kind of chip away at some of the either preconceived notions or the ignorance?
We did talk to staffers from legislators from the Los Angeles areas, and we particularly were talking to them about CTE programs and the need for career and technical education and how critical that is to not only urban areas, but certainly to our local economy as well here in Humboldt County. And again, the willingness to listen and relate was great. But what made it work really was our team. Again, we brought examples of what it's like up here. You know, when Chris Cox from Scotia talks about a student that has to take a boat across the river to get to school every day, literally. That gets their attention.
We hope.
We hope.
Yeah. Unless the drought thing is really kicking in. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we would be in. We'd be talking about other things.
That is hiker boots, yeah.
You know, but those individual stories of what the challenges of our just kind of our normal student situation here in Humboldt County, that really resonates for folks when you're there advocating.
So did some of those did register. You had mentioned that you'd and eight others went down. How do you measure success? I mean, it's nice to do the motion, but I think you are more of a results kind of guy.
Absolutely.
How do you measure the results in this thing called state bureaucracy that creep is a fast speed for them?
You got it. Well, the key is it's on our – we have responsibility there too. So how do you follow up after an event like that? You know, what we'll be putting into place is basically you kind of front load ideas now with the hopes that a year from now you might have some legislation. You might have some key decisions that you're a part of, and that's exactly what we plan on doing. So, and particularly working with Senator McGuire and Assemblyman Wood on topics related to mental health and extra support services in schools, we plan to follow up with them with ideas on, okay, now what are we going to implement out of this? What's going to be next so that we actually see some results on our end? So there's that type of thing, but then there's also the concept of as they're making decisions, you want them thinking about you. You want them to go, wait a minute, how's this going to impact Humboldt County?
Just a top of mind thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Whereas if you don't go down there and take the time to talk about who we are and what we're up against, you're not going to be thought of. You know, so that's a result that you continue to want to foster as an ongoing thing. But we'll have some very specific initiatives that we look forward to working on with relation to services in our schools.
There, I would imagine, are a couple of different levels on this thing. You got the state education budget.
Right.
Okay. And then you got the K-12 portion, or whatever,
right.
Birth to 12.
Yeah, nowadays
it's called anymore.
Pre-K.
Yeah, okay. And then you've got the metropolitan and the micros, where we are, and then the guys in between.
And you got...
And categorical funding within those.
Right.
Okay.
Community colleges, state colleges.
Yeah, I would think that it would be pretty challenging, but also simplifying if you could get these folks to say, okay, here's what our profile is. Pick a district, right?
Right.
Or a county. Here's under the current funding formula, X amount of dollars.
Right.
Here, handle it. Here are the measurements you're going to be, or the standards you're going to be measured against. Handle it. We're not going to have categorical funding anymore. We're not going to play the PC game. We're just going to say, here's your amount. Thank you very much. Here's how we got at that. Tell us how you did it. So if you can save in, let's say, the career tech area, and you can apply that to maintenance, congratulations. But if you save in maintenance, you can apply it to the classroom. Again, congratulations. X percent is your standard for personnel costs, go forth and conquer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, could something going backwards actually simplify things and make education better?
Well, so that's a really good point. That's what LCFF, local control funding formula, is. So that's the current, that is the current funding structure for
schools.
But aren't
there still a ton of silos?
No.
No matching funds, none of that kind of stuff?
No, that went away once he got rid of the revenue limit 3 years ago. So that's what we're advocating to keep. So the governor gave us that flexibility, Brian, about 3 years ago. And big part of our advocacy down at the Capitol is keep this model. Allow us to have that autonomy and that decision-making power. Do not put it into categoricals. Because believe it or not, the state legislator is getting a lot of pressure from different equity groups to put it back into categoricals.
You mean special interest
groups? Exactly, special interest groups. And so we want to keep that open, flexible funding that you just talked about.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, and by American Ag Credit. Chris, with all of the different discussions that have been happening since last we got together, unfortunately, around school safety, campus security,
yeah,
school resource officers, we probably have a higher percentage of teachers in our area with concealed weapons permits than most areas, just because of the rural nature we have. You know, we got people that are called hunters up here and fishermen, outdoorsmen that have because are familiar with. When you hear all the discussions that are swirling at this point,
sure,
about this is a solution or that is a solution or the boom, 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 what chords of those discussions are resonating strongest with you?
You know, certainly it has been a very difficult time for schools and the communities, and reflecting on, you know, when I send my child out the door today, you know, is it going to be a safe environment that they're going in? I mean, it's been an interesting time period. You hear the emotional responses to some of those things, and you hear some of the rational responses to how we can work and to make our schools as safe as possible. And I'm a little concerned about the reaction to all these different solutions from different folks, politicians, you know, whoever.
That would be on the emotional side of the ledger.
Yeah, you know, here's what we need to do. Yeah. And I think, you know, the idea of arming teachers with weapons is an emotional response to certain degrees. I think we really need, as our schools and what we do, is reflect on the practices that we have in our school systems and the type of services we're bringing forth for students and their families and our community. I think more now than ever, you know, districts like in Humboldt County that really do serve as the hub of the community. You know, people ask me, why do we have so many districts? Like, well, because these school sites are the hub of their communities. And so how do we strengthen that hub for everybody in that community so that we're all working together? And if someone's having a challenged moment or a situation, we can identify that and try to provide the services possible to remedy it.
Or do you feel that it's the education or the educational model's responsibility for that? Or is it the notification and you bring in folks that are, I wouldn't say better suited,
right. But
you know, along those lines.
I think it's all of our responsibility. You can't just say it's just education's, but you can't say that it's not. We all have a collective job to do on these issues. When you have folks in your community that are struggling to the degree that we've seen people in our country struggle, and to decide to take people's lives into their own hands is a catastrophe. And we have got to come together and interconnect our services and communications. And we talk about public agencies working in silos. I mean, that's not a new conversation. This is a perfect example of the time where we've got to get rid of that model and come together and share information, share resources, and have more of a wraparound approach to how we service our students and how we service people in the community. So it's not just education's responsibility, but then again, it is education's responsibility.
Well, let me hit you with a couple, and you can go, yep, nope. I mean, you don't have to go detail on these guys. You mentioned communications. These things called cell phones.
Those little devices?
Yeah. Is it time to outlaw those from campus and just put a prohibition on those? I know that right, they're in the classroom as teaching tools, okay, and it's used. But it would seem to me, and a body set, that there's so much time there that we have a breakdown in communications, of interpersonal communications, of talking to people, yeah, and that these things are now replacing, and we've got a lack of connectivity between the students and just being able to sit down and carry on a conversation.
Yeah, I think this, you know, the cell phone is a device that doesn't necessarily inhibit our ability to communicate together in a way that is a good skill set for students. I don't think getting rid of cell phones is gonna move that bubble, you know, to having better dialogue between folks and that sort of thing. You know, it's an appendage anymore. You know, and I think we can use that technology to actually help our situation, you know, as far as building communication skills and those sorts of things, as long as it's used in an appropriate fashion, it's not just sitting there.
You know, wait.
People are just sitting there texting.
You can't
around
put
all
an
day.
Asterisk I mean, on that cow. One. How about discipline?
That's one thing that people have said over the years, that because of some of the court determinations and some of the the goofiness that has happened over the past decades or preceding decades, that discipline, it obviously isn't what it was when you went through, when I went through, when those folks older than us were going through. Things have changed significantly. Good, bad, I don't know, but they've changed.
Well, I mean, discipline is important to have clear standards for student behavior. And the idea, though, that I might have dealt with in high school, if you did something wrong, you're going home for 5 days and we'll see you in five. Well, what concerns me about that only, if you're using that method only, is what's happening in those 5 days and what's that student going through and what support do they need? Do they even have anybody at home when they're sending them at home? So I don't believe that alone is going to work. We're in a more complicated society right now, and the schools have become more of a surrogate parent for students in our communities than ever before.
That was the third of my little triumvirate was parental skill involvement, engagement, intact. You know, all these things that are so anti-PC, I probably am going to get all kinds of nice blowback just mentioning it. But, you know, it seems as if the engagement of the parents, was it helicopter? Isn't that one of the cool trendy phrases in the last 5 years? But parents being there, having father or male role models in these kids' lives. I mean, some of those types of things. Over-stereotyping, granted.
Sure.
However,
I understand.
It seems like some of those types of things are missing as we're having kids and coming from so much drug influence. Is there a need for parent skill?
Well, we actually have, through the county office, Parent Project. And so it's a program that we offer training for parents to come together and share their frustrations and the challenges that they're having in their home raising their children. We go through parenting skills and strategies. They get a camaraderie of working with other parents and realizing, hey, I'm not alone in these challenges. You know, and so we are trying to address those situations, you know, through that educational program. But it is a shift, Brian, in our society that, you know, the traditional family is not what it used to be. And we have to realize that and start to react to that versus hoping it gets better.
Do you think older parents, you know, as millennials are delaying the onset of having kids, do you see that as a positive down the road? That it's not the late teens, early 20s having kids, but those with life skill sets?
I mean, sure. You know, life experience, I think, would have made me a better parent. And in those early years, you know, for sure, I would be a better dad now for my youngsters than I was then, you know, just because of life experience. But what we really need are just folks that are being productive in the society. They've got things to look forward to. You know, the students that are facing trauma, they have parents at home, but there's still a lot of traumatic events that are happening at home. We have to deal with those issues so that the home environment is a positive place to be. It doesn't matter if you're a 20-year-old dad or a 40-year-old dad. You know.
Thanks for that 40-year-old cutoff thing there, too. KINS, News and Information Times, 844.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning briefly with Chris Hartley. Chris, if somebody wants to get involved or or try to help the cause, so to speak, whether it's with campus security, dealing with some of the kids that are identified as high risk, or at least are exhibiting some of those areas of behavior. What would you recommend, either as a parent, grandparent, neighbor, sure, or somebody who, I don't know one, but I want to jump in the pool and help out?
I think, first of all, you would go with your local district that you're most affiliated with. And you'd probably, I think, just going and speaking to your district superintendent or your administration of your schools and talk about these issues, I think, is really healthy for all of us to do that. And so I would, if there's folks that are interested in that, I would recommend that you reach out to your district or your local school site and talk to your administration and find out, ask what are the programs that they have going on? What are the opportunities for volunteering? You know, what we've found is just having a good positive experience with a child and being a mentor for a child can make a huge difference. And we have a lot of programs where people are volunteering to read to young kids. We've got our program of early literacy through the county office. You've got volunteer programs at schools, coaching athletics, all kinds of ways to get involved. So contact your schools and find out how you can get involved.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet. Thank you.
Enjoy the sunshine out there.
You betcha.
All right. See everybody tomorrow.